Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Justin, how do you pronounce your last name?
Yeah, it's Fiala.
Fiala, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing so well. Thank you so much for having me on.
Dr. Fiala is a pulmonary critical care and sleep medicine specialist with the Northwestern Medicine Canning Thoracic Institute. Am I right about that? Is my friend right that when we take a deep breath, when we need to do deep breathing, and that first deep breath, every time we take one in, our belly should expand, not contract?
Yeah, that is actually correct. So what they're alluding to is the fact that the diaphragm is the primary muscle that we use to breathe. And the diaphragm sits under the lungs. It's kind of shaped in a dome, kind of separated into the right and the left side. And the diaphragm does 80% of the work of our breathing. And so when you see that the belly isn't expanding with deep breathing, what it's suggesting is that you're relying then on the less efficient muscles in the shoulders and in between the ribs to kind of take on that work. So the whole idea is, yeah, if you can get that belly expanding with each breath, that's really telling you, hey, you're getting the most efficient and kind of the deepest type of inspiration possible.
We were practicing that yesterday on the air, and a lot of us couldn't get it, and it just seems backwards. And when we are doing it the incorrect way, does that cause anxiety or cause more stress to our body when we're trying to relieve it?
Yeah, so this idea of kind of inefficiency with breathing is most important when you're short of breath. But the whole idea of trying to practice the deep breathing ahead of time when you're feeling well is so that you can actually pull on those resources and those methods when you're feeling a little bit more taxed. And so the idea here is, you know, if you get into a position, either kind of laying back in a semi-upright position or laying down, the idea is to kind of rest your shoulders and your back muscles so that they're not necessarily engaging, so that then you can rely solely on the diaphragm. And you spend about 5 minutes trying to get that diaphragm to work and move down so that your belly is expanding out, and you're getting this deep breath in, and then ultimately breathing out through your mouth, having the expiration or the exhaling portion of the breath lasting at least 2 times longer than the inspiration.
And should we be using our nose or should we be sucking in air with our mouth?
You know, so the typical teaching is that you breathe in through your nose and then out through your mouth. Granted, you can breathe in through your mouth. The only downside to that is that you lose a little bit of heating and kind of moisturization on the way in. So that can lead to things like dry throat because you're going to dry out the airway a little bit more.
And you work a lot with people who are suffering from different lung diseases, right? COPD, people
Correct.
Who really have to focus on their breathing because it's difficult.
Absolutely. And in those types of cases, what they really lose out on is this kind of bounce back of the lungs. Naturally, the lungs kind of act like a spring-loaded screen door. They kind of open quickly, and then they take a little bit longer to deflate and kind of let that air out. And so in cases of asthma, COPD, what we're telling people to do is really try to limit the amount of time they're spending breathing in and give themselves as much time as possible to breathe out. So it's that in through the nose, out through the mouth, taking longer on that exhale. And what we tell people with COPD is that a good way to make sure that you're getting enough time breathing out is to actually use something called pursed lip breathing, where you kind of pucker your lips almost like you're making a kissy face or pretending to be a Kardashian, and then blowing out through those pursed lips, because that's actually going to kind of keep your airways open for a little bit longer and make sure that you get that really nice long expiratory phase.
Oh, I was just going to ask about that. My dad passed from COPD, and at the end, that's what he was doing. His lips were always pursed, you know, it just small breaths.
Absolutely.
And
I'm so sorry to hear that about your father.
Thank you. You know, he wishes he would have quit smoking long before the age of 50, but it just
Absolutely.
Didn't happen. So also yeah. Maintaining a healthy lifestyle overall, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so the idea here is really just trying to, limit as much belly fat as possible, because that's another thing that can negatively impact your ability to take deep breaths in. And so, again, it's kind of standard recommendations that you might hear from your general doc about, hey, you know, how do you be more active, aiming to limit unhealthy foods and just kind of maintain a healthy weight.
And when we do breathe correctly, it does help. It just helps all of our organs, right?
Absolutely. Every single one of your vital organs needs oxygen and also needs to get rid of the waste gas that's produced just by, you know, functioning, what we call metabolism. So, you know, you get oxygen in, that's the first half of the equation. And then the other half is to really get rid of the carbon dioxide or waste gas.
And so why do some of us get it wrong? I felt like I was breathing wrong my whole life. How is it that that just doesn't come natural?
Yeah, funny, right? I mean, I think it's because no one ever necessarily teaches us, right? And so our bodies kind of fall into a pattern that we, you know, learn for ourselves. And that just might not be the ultimately most efficient way to breathe. And so that's where we come in and we say, hey, you know, it looks like you may be working a little bit harder than necessary. Let me give you some tips, you know, to try to change that up a little bit. And that's why it takes a little bit of practice. So again, 5 to 10 minutes per day of trying this deep breathing, feeling good, and then the next time you're a little bit short of breath, I'm sure that it'll come a little bit easier.
So, doctor, are we talking about a 10% improvement, a 75% improvement? How much better is it to breathe with your abdomen expanding?
Excellent question. And, you know, it really depends on kind of where a person is at starting. You know, the more that you're utilizing those less efficient muscles in the shoulder and the chest wall, that is going to make for less efficient breathing. And so then if you can flip it into that diaphragm breathing or belly breathing, that'll be a disproportionate benefit then. You know, so it's kind of like if you're starting out worse, you'll get a disproportionate effect, you know, from improving it.
So breathe in through your nose, your belly should expand. When you exhale through your mouth, your belly should contract.
Absolutely. You got it.
All right. We're going to work on that. Thanks, Doc.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me.
It's hard.
Dr. Justin Fiala. You got it? You got it, Steve?
No, it's hard. I mean, it's just such a mental thing.
It is. It is. It was so hard for me, and now it feels odd if I don't do it right, but I still have to practice it, just like he said. It takes practice.